The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, has determined that the Cook Inlet beluga should be listed as endangered under the Endangered Species Act. The ESA listing means federal agencies that permit or fund activities such as oil, gas, and coal development within the beluga's habitat will have to consult with the National Marine Fisheries Service before proceeding. Brad Smith is a NMFS biologist. He says industry affecting the waters of Cook Inlet, such as Anchorage's wastewater treatment facility, will have to work with NMFS before being re-permitted.
If it does not, then there's really no consequence to the consultation. But if we do find that there is an adverse effect, then we would go into what's described a formal consultation with them, where if we found that their activity might jeopardize the continued existence of the Cook Inlet beluga whale, we could come up with a set of conditions that would be required to avoid jeopardizing the animals.
Smith says tissue tests have not revealed many toxins in the belugas, but he says NMFS will now begin testing for other substances, such as flame retardants. NMFS biologist Barbara Mahoney says a subsistence harvest plan developed by the Cook Inlet Treaty Tribes spells out no harvest through 2012. She says the review comes in five-year increments.
To determine a harvest level for 2013 through 2017. And that will be based on trends, too. So if you have an increasing trend, then I believe the subsistence harvest increases as the population increases. And it also increases more on an increasing trend than on a stable or a decreasing trend.
Mahoney says surveying the animals will happen on a more frequent basis than the annual surveys that have occurred in the past. Douglas Vincent Lang is the endangered species coordinator for the state's Department of Fish and Game. He says the department has been concerned for a long time about the Cook Inlet beluga population. However, he disagrees with the federal officials over the best way to address those concerns. Vincent Lang says the decision to list them as endangered was premature. He says the state would prefer to see more annual population counts to determine if the increase of recent years will continue.
The population reached a low of about 278 several years ago, and now that those numbers have increased up to about 375 whales. So in the last 4 years, we've seen a 30% increase in the whales. It was our belief when we looked at the information that was available in terms of making this listing decision that the main threat to the whales was unregulated high harvest of whales in the 1990s.
He says the delay between restricting harvest levels and the actual return of the population, about 7 years, is attributed to the time necessary for newborn whales to mature and begin breeding, thus allowing the population to grow. He says delaying a few years would actually provide more data on which to make a decision.
The other piece of this puzzle that's really important to understand how this population is going to respond in the future is to get an index of the number of calves that are out in the inlet. And calf count information has been collected for the past several years, but because of time constraints, that information unfortunately hasn't been able to be analyzed. And we think that that's a critical piece that probably should be analyzed as part of the decision as to whether or not to list this species.
Vincent Lang says the next step in the listing will come in a year with a determination of critical habitat for the species, finished by a recovery plan. He says it is a lot easier to list a species than it is to take it off the protected list. Jason Bruni, the executive director of the Resource Development Council, says the decision will have a major impact on most of the state's residents, citing possible effects on fishing, oil and gas, mining and transportation. As an example, he cites the importance of the Port of Anchorage on the rest of Alaska.
Most of the goods that we have go through the Port of Anchorage, and so there will be restrictions that are put in place that are going to increase the cost for getting those goods here to Alaska, and so we will all feel it.
Bruni says his group's major response is to help make changes to the Endangered Species Act to avoid what he sees as an unnecessary listing. Anchorage Mayor Mark Begich is not pleased with the listing. Begich also says the ESA needs changing.
It's over 30 years old. It's outdated, and it needs to understand the new science, but also these subpopulations are, in my view, this kind of ruling focuses on subpopulations, which really I think is not a fair assessment of the beluga overall population, which has been stable.
Begich says he is concerned about possible impacts to port expansion plans and the future re-permitting of the Anchorage wastewater treatment facility. Currently, the sewage treatment plant is required to only provide primary treatment before wastewater is released into Cook Inlet. Begich says the ESA listing could mean the plant would need major renovations.
That cost could be $400 to $600 million, and the ratepayers will have to cover that cost.
Senator Ted Stevens also expressed dismay over the listing today. In a written statement, Stevens says he strongly opposed the listing. He says the decision would substantially delay or halt major development projects within Cook Inlet. Senator Lisa Murkowski also released a statement saying she was disappointed in NOAA's decision to list the belugas. Murkowski stated that although the population is low, it has increased since 2005 and stabilized. She says the decision lacks information regarding seasonal movement and the causes of the long-term decline.